The Tom Woods Show, episode 1883.
Prepare to set fire to the index card of allowable opinion. Your daily dose of liberty education starts here. The Tom Woods Show.
Hey folks, Tom Woods here. We're just going to dive right into the topic today. Jeremy Kaufman is with me today, and we're going to talk about how you deal with a behemoth like YouTube. What do you do when it has crazy rules and it arbitrarily limits or bans you or won't allow certain topics to be discussed or whatever it is? What do you do about that? Do you sit and whine, or do you take matters into your own hands and build something? Well, I think you see where this is going. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
It's great to be here with you, Tom. I'm a big fan.
All right. Look, I try to make contributions, right? I make my own contributions. I've done different things in the homeschool world, whatever. I produce content that I hope will help people. But other times, well, frankly, I just complain. I mean, like a lot of people, sometimes I just complain because I can't solve all problems. I can do some things, I can't solve all problems. But you actually are solving a major problem. You have more or less solved, as long as people adopt it, a major, major problem that we're facing. And that has to do with YouTube, which for the longest time, a lot of us had a very naive view of. I mean, I assumed that I would never, ever run into problems with YouTube. The thought didn't occur to me. Maybe 10 years ago, there'd be this or that isolated video that got taken down, but it was so unusual. We might protest it, but nobody was really all that worried about it. And now, all of a sudden, it's just absolutely insane. So you have devised an alternative. Now, your alternative, the only drawback to it is that the name of it is almost like the unpronounceable symbol that Prince changed his name to for a brief time. So tell us about that.
Well, the alternative to YouTube, or what we think is the successor to YouTube, is called Odyssey, O-D-Y-S-E-E. So the name that you probably don't like is the name Library, which is this open source blockchain-based protocol that Odyssey is built on top of. Now that gets nerdy, and I can get as nerdy as you like. But I think the number one thing to know is that Odyssey is a very, very easy to use YouTube-like website, has none of the bad policies. You'll find all those videos, all those creators where you're like, I wonder what happened to that guy. They're on there.
I love that, by the way. Yeah. I wonder what happened to that guy. The answer is they're over here.
Exactly. And so you'll find it all. In one, part of the reason we like to say we're the successor, not an alternative, is these alternative websites, they're echo chambers. They're only collecting the types of content that's getting in trouble. On Odyssey, it is a really wide spectrum of stuff. You can find the Tom Woods COVID videos that YouTube has taken down. And I think that's very offensive. So I don't think that's fringy stuff. That's mainstream science, what you're arguing, as far as I'm concerned. So I'm not trying to insinuate that what you're doing is...
Yeah, no, I hear you.
Yeah, but like, because I love it. I'm a consumer of it. But it's not just this kind of content that's getting in trouble. It's all kinds of things. It's just less of that corporate cable style, which is all that YouTube promotes anymore.
How long has it been in existence?
So Odyssey only launched in the end of September or October last year. It's already grown to more than 20 million people using it every month.
Wow, that's tremendous. That is tremendous. So odyse.com.
Yeah.
And people go there and it's just as user-friendly as YouTube.
Exactly. With less of the spying, the exploitation, all that's, kind of gone away. And this is where what we've done is really different. So it's all built on top of this open blockchain-based technology called LBRY. I'm the CEO of that company as well. And this is part of why this project is really succeeding. It's not just a clone. It's actually something that's genuinely different that gives us a lot more control than we had before. We like to say that Library does to publishing what Bitcoin does to money.
So how do you cope with the problems that a lot of alternatives, and again, I know you don't use the word alternative, but just for the sake of argument, have to deal with, which is, we're going to start our own X, Y, or Z. But then the problem is, I don't like the expression cancel culture, but you know what I mean by it. That it's gotten so extensive that then your payment processor will get taken away, or PayPal won't let you use it, or whatever. So you might be able to do some good, but then they just cut you off at the knees in other ways. How do you avoid that?
Yeah, well, I will dispute the premise just a little bit in the sense that I think that Odyssey is not at risk of these things. It's in all of the app stores. It has, you know, a lot of very mainstream content, and it's not really doing the kinds of things that I think are raising some of these issues, right? But that said, the entire system is decentralized and the entire system uses cryptocurrency as the fundamental rails. So this ability to disrupt it through financial controls, which I would agree, you can look at like Operation Choke Point under Obama and just general pressure on the financial system. It has become the largest point of control. It's the most powerful tool for squashing dissent or the kinds of activities that the three and four letter agencies might not like. But in our case, this is the most resilient way to do it possible, right? So I think we are way ahead of the curve here in terms of resiliency to these kinds of things.
How about this? I get that we're very much against anything that interferes with the open exchange of ideas. And I that's what I want. But you could imagine that there would be some kinds of content that even we would say on our platform, you can't do that. So somebody tortures a child and films it. Maybe we don't want that on our platform. So how do you handle that? It's not a free-for-all, in other words. So what is it?
That's right. And Odyssey wouldn't allow that. And that's where this gets nuanced, but this distinction between Odyssey, which is a platform, which is a website, versus Library as an open technology and a decentralized network is very important. We don't expect there to be a point of control for our email servers. There's no CEO of email that can reach into everyone's email inbox and delete something. We'd find that idea horrifying if that existed. Similarly, that's why we find Bitcoin appealing, right? There's no ability. You know, if I have the keys locally on my computer, there's no ability for someone to reach into my pocket and take my money out of it. That doesn't mean that people have to provide services. People don't have to take your Bitcoin. People don't have to facilitate Bitcoin exchanges on behalf of you specifically. It just means that it can't be taken away from you. And so that's what Library as a technology enables. It enables this option of local control. Our mission as a company is not to put edgy and or disgusting or offensive kinds of things in front of people's faces. I mean, we, as far as I'm concerned, we failed if that's what's happening, and it's not what's happening. So it's important to differentiate between, you know, we can have user experiences and applications that are curated or where certain types of things aren't allowed, but then we can build it on top of this technology that says, you know, suppose that Odyssey does become evil. Well, when YouTube became evil, you're trapped. You have to start over again from nothing. If Odyssey becomes evil, you walk away with your cryptocurrency wallet, you walk away with your followers, you walk away with all your money, you walk away with all of your content, and it's like switching email providers rather than starting over from scratch. And one of those things is a lot easier than the other. And so Library is this open technology that it's not one place, it's not one thing, it's an interactive network, and there's this facility to interact with it in different ways. That gets kind of nerdy and complex. I don't know if that made sense, but that's an attempt to explain it.
Where does your revenue come from?
So as a company, we have made money from selling a cryptocurrency token that we created, but we also make money off of Odyssey.com and have the ability to make money off of Odyssey.com the same way that the other websites would. So by taking a cut of financial transactions or through advertising would be two of the ways that Odyssey can make money.
Now this, I think I already know the answer. The answer is you just need to keep getting more and more users. I understand that. The trouble with a new platform like this is that what tends to happen is that the fringy people go there first. So people who really are a little bit odd, they shouldn't have their videos taken down, but the oddballs who had their videos taken down tend to go there first. So then, because of the presence of oddballs, it dissuades people who are less oddballish from going there, and you need to get a critical mass of people there. Is there a way to overcome this?
Completely agreed. I think we kind of have already overcome this. I mean, if you go down the Odyssey homepage and look at the categories, you're going to find all kinds of mainstream stuff. A lot of the biggest science and engineering creators on YouTube are publishing to Odyssey. You know, people who are doing, you know, makeup videos or animal videos that have millions of followers on YouTube. They've come over and are publishing to Odyssey. So like the problems with YouTube, while the censorship is one problem, there's tons of problems. They change the monetization rules all of the time. They take 50% of every exchange. You know, they are doing all kinds of crazy stuff around the hoops that you have to jump through, AI making mistakes. They're putting a bunch of onerous things on their creators around like taxes and financial exchanges and things like this. And so like, there's a lot of people that have a problem with YouTube from a lot of different angles. And so it's not this space where it's just that kind of thing. Yeah, you can find Alex Jones on Odyssey. I think Alex Jones should be allowed to make videos, but it's not dominated by Alex Jones. It's dominated by, you know, stuff that's way closer to the center.
Was there a proverbial last straw for you when you said, that's it, we have to do this? Or was it a slow build?
It was more of a slow build. I mean, the library technology is something we've been working on for more than 4 years. And it's something that I came at from sort of a more abstract kind of principle than like, oh, I know that I'm competing with YouTube. I was really intrigued by some of the things that you could do by applying blockchain in the space of digital publishing more generally. Like library as a technology, for example, is used by Defense Distributed, which does the firearms CAD files. They're firearms engineers and they share their files. Now, that's not something people go to Odyssey for, but the library network is used for that because they can have a decentralized identity and they can prove that they've published these certain files and everyone can trust them and find them. And so library was a more abstract system. We saw that so many people were having this problem with YouTube that we were like, yeah, we really think we need to focus on that.
Now, there are other platforms that have popped up recently as YouTube alternatives. How do you feel about that? Do you feel like maybe you guys should somehow be joining forces, that maybe this is a duplication of effort?
Well, I think the competition does make us stronger, although I'm never opposed to trying to find allies either. I do think that big tech is the real enemy, not Rumble or whatever. I mean, I do think that part of me sort of regards them as alternatives and us as a successor because they're just trying to copy the status quo. They're not doing anything genuinely different. And so they do end up collecting, you know, basically just this slice of the political sphere that is specifically being targeted by YouTube as not being allowed. And that's all they end up being. And I think they end up being way more prone to the kinds of problems that you're introducing, which are very real about how they become these kinds of like echo chambery type places, you know, because of what we're doing. You'll find plenty of communists and socialists, and like you'll find the whole spectrum of political opinion on Odyssey. And also 90% of it's not even political, because what we're doing has just a much broader appeal. It's much more this disruption of something that's different and better than what came before, rather than someone who's being like, oh, like, you know, I'm just going to copy this other guy, but I'm going to serve a different audience. Like what we're doing is actually different. So I think that that's a big part of why we're ultimately winning this sort of space.
So far, what would you describe as the biggest problem or challenge you've faced? Was it a tech challenge, or has it been dealing with the public, or what?
Building a compelling product is a huge challenge. Like, it takes a lot of iteration, and it's something that I'm looking at constantly, which is like, how much are people enjoying this? Do they like it? Do they come back to it? But honestly, the biggest challenge that I haven't been able to, we've solved that problem. The biggest challenge that I'm probably facing right now is the federal government, which wants to make it very hard for Americans to do the kind of work that we're doing.
Now, I know with a platform like this, again, the key is you need to get a certain critical mass. Nobody knows the exact number, but of people going there for it to have enough momentum to carry itself forward. But I can't imagine what it would have been like to launch something like that and just wait for the very first person who was other than yourself to show up and put a video there. I mean, that I would have been nervous that maybe this just isn't going to fly. So what did happen?
Well, so Odyssey started with the catalog of content that was available on the decentralized library network. So when library launched more than 4 years ago, we're actually coming up on the 5th year anniversary of the launch of the library network. When the library network launched, there wasn't even a graphical UI. So you could only publish to it via the command line. It started as like a small group of nerds you know, exploring how we could use blockchain to do this new kind of publishing method. And so it's something that started much smaller and kind of was built, you know, you build it brick by brick. So the first couple of hundred publishers were just like, you know, some nerds kind of messing around, and we grew from there. And a lot of it grew like very organically, you know, people talking about it, spreading it, who were excited about it. There are a couple of moments where like there were like viral moments where we would get a big spike in traffic, but it's something that kind of took on a life of its own from a fairly early stage.
That's kind of incredible. I mean, that's really, really impressive and amazing to me that you're able to do this and get this much traffic generated over there. Why don't you say something about Ole Woods here with regard to this?
Well, people should absolutely be watching this on Odyssey. I should have said this right at the beginning of the show, but if you are on YouTube right now, or if you're somewhere else, go to odyssey.com, type in Tom Woods TV, smash that follow button, I think is what the kids say, and follow Tom over there. Tom's videos are never going to disappear. Your content's not going to be used to, you know, to spy on you. You can earn cryptocurrency. You can also create your own identity and have an identity that you actually own. So rather than creating these identities that can be taken away on a whim by Twitter or by Facebook or whatever, when you create an identity on the Library Network, you own that identity. That's part of what's so cool about this system and what's so appealing to it. And this is how we win, is by people coming over, by people beginning to use it, and by people continuing to spread, you know, what's been built here.
Hey, folks, I want to say a quick word on behalf of maybe the most important sponsor I've ever had, and that's BetterHelp. A lot of you out there are struggling with depression, anxiety, stress, relationships, dealing with family conflicts, and you look on social media and it looks like everybody else has a perfect life and you're the outlier. Well, I'm telling you, you are not alone, and help is available. BetterHelp will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist. You connect in a safe and private online environment. It's convenient, professional, and affordable. You can start communicating in under 24 hours. This is not self-help. It's professional counseling. You get timely and thoughtful responses to messages you can send anytime. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions. The testimonials are out of this world. And in fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional counselors in all 50 states. I want you to start living a happier life today. As a listener, you'll get 10% off your first month by visiting betterhelp.com/woods. Join over 1 million people taking charge of their mental health. Again, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/woods. Can we take just a few minutes for you to explain what possible reason, given the apparently benign nature of what you're doing, that the SEC might be unhappy with you?
Yes. So the SEC would like a bunch of money from my company, and they'd like to make it harder for cryptocurrency generally to be transacted. We're facing a civil challenge from the SEC. I want to be clear, that challenge does not threaten the network, doesn't threaten anyone's cryptocurrency, doesn't threaten the content. You know, this is a thing that does have a life of its own, even without my company. Now, there's a variety of explanations as to why the SEC is doing what they're doing. I'm not sure myself. There's no alleged victim, right? So no one has complained to the SEC and said we've done something wrong. The SEC's opinion is basically that any cryptocurrency that's actively developed is a security if the company that's developing it also sells some of it. And that's what my company did. So they're saying that years after the network launched, because we had some of the cryptocurrency and we sold it, that was a security, it was an investment contract, that the other person had a bunch of expectations and promises when we said, you know, here's $5 worth of LBC and you can use it on this decentralized network. I think it's a really ridiculous case. I mean, it's a ridiculous case to everyone I've talked to about it. If you're a libertarian, it's an especially offensive case because whose rights are being violated, you know, who's the victim. But I think the government is, the government's either threatened by cryptocurrency or it's like, you know, regulators are going to regulate. You've got some guy who's told by his boss to go produce enforcements, and you've got a company like mine that's super transparent. We publish everything that we do. And so if the SEC stances every cryptocurrency that's developed is a security, you know, we're like shooting fish in a barrel because we're so public and transparent with everything that we do. Because it's like their evidence is like spreadsheets that we publish that they downloaded from our website, you know? So it hasn't been fun to deal with, I'll say that. But I think that I do ultimately think that we're going to win and that cryptocurrency is going to win.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, I felt like I had to at least ask you about that. So I'm sure this is something you think about all the time. So you know all different angles of this. What are some other things that we listeners should know about Odyssey or what you're up to or what the benefits are, anything like that that I'm not hitting on?
I mean, I think we've hit on a lot of it. It's really about, to me, I know that a lot of people like cryptocurrency for investment purposes, and kudos for you if you're doing well in that regard. I think blockchain is valuable because it's a technology that's empowering. It allows us to take back control over our lives and the way that we do things instead of ceding it to people that either don't have our best interests at heart or exploiting us or actively dislike us in some cases. And I'm so excited about that idea. It gives me such hope for the future. And if that's an idea that you share, I mean, just start using it and get involved with it. And Odyssey is a great way to do that, but go, you know, go beyond, use other things, use technologies that don't require us to cede our power and our abilities to these groups that are going to, like, you know, abuse us essentially. And so the number one thing you can do if you haven't done it already is go onto Odyssey, create an account, and just start using it. If you want to do more, we do have a website about the SEC case. It's Help LBRY Save Crypto. So if you want to learn more about that, it is big for the industry. But the number one thing to do, in my opinion, is just to start using Library and Odyssey if you're not doing it already.
Well, I'm going to link to both of the links you just mentioned at tomwoods.com/1883. But I want you to say something about the ease with which somebody can take an existing YouTube channel. And you don't necessarily have to abandon YouTube, but at the very least, you want to mirror your content over here and take the existing content you have and protect it against having it all wiped out. The thing is, it sounds like that would be a huge job. And yeah, in principle, I'd like to do that, but I just don't have the energy. It sounds exhausting just talking about it, but it turns out it's not an exhausting process at all.
That's right. It is extremely easy. It's one of those things where it's like so easy, people think there must be a scam because it's like, you know, it's like if you say that something is free, you like get your hackles up versus if it's like $5, you're like, that's a fair price. So I worry sometimes because I make it sound too easy that people are like, there must be a catch. There's no catch. You go onto Odyssey. When you create your account, you check a single box. We require you to prove that the channel is yours. And then we publish everything on your behalf to the network. And it's not just your past catalog, it's your ongoing catalog. So if you're on YouTube and you're a creator, there's no reason not to do this. It means that your content will be safe. It will allow you to start building a following on Odyssey. And you don't have to do anything. We love it if you do more, right? We love it if you do the, if you mention Odyssey in your shows and you encourage your audience, you know, over there. But it is no work to get started. And so if you're a creator on YouTube, you really should do it.
Yeah. Because think of what would have been involved just a few years ago in backing up your entire YouTube content. If you're somebody like me who has a lot of material on there, which is, I suppose you could have downloaded each video. Like, I mean, maybe you still had it on your hard drive, but you know, if you're like me, you've gone through 3 computers since you started this thing. So you wouldn't even know where those files were. So it would be a very long, laborious process to get the stuff back. You don't have to do that. You don't have to worry about that. Thanks to this. So that's why I'm doing it. I mean, sometimes I like to do things regardless of the effort involved because they're just the right thing to do. But I'd say it didn't hurt that it was really easy to do. It did not hurt.
Yeah, look, I think you have to be realistic. If you're being too like idealistic, you're only going to get people who are like ideologues, right? And you'll see with some of these decentralized technologies, whatever, they're so hard to use. I have a background in creating usable software before this company even. And it's something that like we really obsess over is making a product that's really user-friendly and easy to use. And so that attitude that we had, you know, in applying to this, let's make it so simple for people to bring their content over. That's really the attitude we've applied to everything. And so I think you'll find something that's also way better than the quote other alt tech platforms in terms of the quality of the product.
All right. Well, people should check it out for themselves and start watching videos on there, sharing videos from there, getting people accustomed to watching videos there and just making people familiar with it. because that's important to get. The more people are over there, the more good we're going to do. Because of all possible times in world history to suppress information, this is the worst. I mean, well, I don't know if this absolutely, but it's up there. It's in the top 10, let's say.
In my lifetime, it absolutely is. It's the most, I'm in my, I guess, mid, late 30s, and like, it's the most disturbing stuff that I've ever seen.
Yeah. And it's not even, you know, I'm sure there are some people who are saying things like cow's urine can cure the virus and whatever, but it's not really mostly that. Even if you're critical of lockdowns, there's a huge number of peer-reviewed studies supporting you on that, and you can have stuff taken down for that. It's insane. So thank you for doing something while the rest of us were sitting around griping. We needed somebody to actually do something, and you did it. So, Jeremy, thanks for your time.
Thank you very much. It was great to be here with you.
All right, folks, that's it for today. Tomorrow, Kevin Gutzman is back on the show. It's been a long time since we talked to Kevin. He is the co-author with me of the book, Who Killed the Constitution? He's also the author of several other very important books. He's a biographer of James Madison. He wrote a great book on Thomas Jefferson. He wrote The Politically Incorrect Guide to the Constitution, which is a fantastic book, so we'll be talking to him tomorrow. So tune in for that. I'll see you then.
Become a smarter libertarian in just 30 minutes a day. Visit TomWoods.com to subscribe to the show for free, and we'll see you next time.
Like the sound of the Tom Woods Show? My audio production is provided by Podsworth Media. Check them out at Podsworth.com.